The word of the Lord from Mark chapter 14, verses 12 to 26. And on the first day of unleavened bread, when they sacrificed the Passover lamb, his disciples said to him, "Where will you have us go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent to his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room, that where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready, and there prepare for us." And the disciples set out and went to the city and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be sorrowful and said to him one after another, "Is it I?" He said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who is dipping the bread into the dish with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." And as they were eating, he took bread, and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. The text for our gospel proclamation comes from Mark chapter 14 that I just finished reading for you and serves as the basis of our Monday-Thursday celebration. Prepare, gather, bless. Throughout the season of Lent, we have been discussing the series of three. You have witnessed all throughout Scripture how many times God has used the series of three. As we begin this Holy Week with Maundy Thursday, first we see the installation of the sacramental meal that we still celebrate to this day. Next, we prepare at last for Good Friday, and then begin the season of Easter on the third day when our Lord rose from the dead. Tonight, we will see how the disciples prepared, gathered, and then finally received the blessing of their Rabbi, Lord, and Savior Christ in, with, and under the bread and the wine. Three, three, three. It's hard to escape this powerful number that culminates on the third day of the resurrection of our Lord. So tonight we will start with the intentionality of Jesus' preparation for the evening's gathering. First, Jesus prepared a colt to be ridden into Jerusalem. And that's a powerful symbol in and of itself, showing how Jesus fulfilled the words of the prophet Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9, which says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Next, the advanced preparation continues with what is tantamount to one of the most out-of-place things the disciples would ever see in the city: a man carrying an earthen pitcher of water. As the Scottish theologian William Barclay put it so eloquently, to carry a water pot was a woman's duty. It was a thing that no man would ever do. A man with a water pot on his shoulder would stand out in any crowd as much as, say, a man on a wet day with a lady's umbrella. Well, Our man with the earthen pitcher of water would direct them to the third and final arrangement that would be a threefold in and of itself, the upper room. As described in Scripture, the upper room is just that, a box-like room constructed on top of a bigger house below, which could be accessed without going through the house below. The upper rooms on most houses were typically used in a threefold way. Number one, as a storeroom. Number two, as a quiet place for prayer. And finally, number three, as a guest room. The ancient version of a BRNB, if you will. So all the preparations have been made. And the second thing our gospel turns to, the gathering of the disciples in the place that was previously prepared by our Lord. This, of course, is what we still do to this day. We come together and we gather at the table of the Lord. We enjoy a meal of bread and wine lovingly prepared by those who are responsible, and we know without fail it will be as it is prescribed today. Just like the people of the first century knew, Passover would be celebrated as it has been for over a millennium since its inception, before the Israelites were liberated from Egyptian slavery. So, we carry on the particulars that God laid down on that fateful night 3,000 years ago. First, we have the unleavened bread. Every Passover meal that had the unleavened bread that God commanded them to prepare for a week's worth of meals. On the first day, all leavening agents were cleared from the house, and for 7 days, they were commanded to eat only unleavened bread that would be a feast of remembrance for 7 days from that day forth. Second, the blood of an unblemished lamb would be spread with the hyssop branch on the doorpost and the lintel of the doorway of the house where they ate the lamb. This would be a sign for the Lord to pass over their house and spare the firstborn child, hence the name Passover, and the reminder that they were saved by the blood of the lamb. And third, the first Passover had the unblemished lamb that was prepared as a meal to be eaten by the people with the bitter herbs. No Passover celebration in Jerusalem would be without this prepared meal, prepared in this way. So Jesus uses this context to prepare his disciples, not only for the end, but for a new and perpetual beginning that we still celebrate tonight. And in what had to have been an interesting turn of events for the disciples, Jesus did that which no one had ever done at a Passover meal. And what he did would likely have caught any of us off guard. You know, I don't know what your normal celebrations are like, but imagine, if you will, the way your family celebrated a holy day together that never diverted from what you did. Maybe it was having a honey-baked ham on Christmas Day, with the family still dressed up from the Christmas Day services. The fine china was brought out. The leaves were put in the dining room table. The food spread out and everyone dug in, enjoying the fruits of a meal they knew they would not see the likes of again, at least maybe not until Easter or Thanksgiving. Then imagine that the normal routine was to go and see what football or basketball game was on, and that would allow you to drift off into a postprandial nap. But right after you cleared the dishes, the patriarch or the matriarch of the house called everyone to sit back down and indicated nobody is going anywhere until we do something new first. It may get a few astonishing gasps. It may elicit a comment or two. It may even get the eyes rolling on the teenagers. And it may have a few curious saying to themselves, "What's up now?" But no matter what, it will get everyone's attention, good or bad. And tonight, 2,000 years ago, Jesus had their attention. And with one cup, and with a loaf of unleavened bread, and with the wine from that cup, Jesus prepared them the church, and all Christians for all time. You see, Jesus prepared them, Jesus gathered them, and now Jesus would bless them. And this blessing would be the mainstay and the backbone and the very framework of the church for millenniums to come. Regardless of how a church views it, even until today, they still have it. We all universally know that it is good and the church should have it for their people as a part of their worship. And we can see the inception of this practice in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where they proclaim the apostles' teaching, that is the creed and catechesis, fellowship, based on their common confession of faith, breaking of bread, that is communion, and prayers. The prayer is associated with worship, just like we do today. They knew what this was and just how important it was to keep. For in keeping this, they kept Christ as well. They kept his words and utter devotion and love for the life he sacrificed to save us all from our sins. They kept his sacramental ceremony that he gave us on this faithful night, which is Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, flows through to forgive our sins and strengthen our faith. And finally, they kept the faith. Faith founded through the gathering of the faithful ones who came to receive Christ, who would forever be faithful to us. So tonight and every night, keep this faith, because God is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Now may that peace which surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus always. Amen.